The following programming is sponsored by
MBC Media.
The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a statue of liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you.
And welcome back, Philadelphia, to WWDB AM 860s. The Conservative Voice. Thanks for joining us here for the second hour. This is Gary Heasley in the studio with Ada Nestor. Hello, Ada.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Glad you're here. And interesting conversation the first hour about this craziness we're seeing in the world. I mean, we've never seen, that I can recall, a transition from one administration to the next that has such emotional responses from the leftists and from inside government.
And the rhinos.
And the old establishment, they're going to have a really hard time with
this. I'm never going to let that go. I'm never going to drop it. I'm sorry. I'm going to bring them up and their panic and hysteria every day.
They're going to be a force going forward. I mean, it's going to have to be figured out how they fit into the whole scheme of things, because I think their days of having a stranglehold control on the Republican Party are obviously finished. So now, you know, what role do they play? And are they able to distract the Republican Party and its voters from the mission of this America First agenda and back to their agenda, which is pretty much run the party for profit or whatever it is they were trying to do, just have influence on policy, you know, through the party and through the donor system. But it seems that those days are over, because clearly this administration, especially the second term for a Donald Trump, this is an ideological administration. This is an administration with an agenda that is not determined by a phone call from a donor.
No.
So it's going to be fascinating. It's been fascinating so far. Now, one of the folks that watches this very closely, of course, is Mark Mitchell at Rasmussen Reports, who's joined the show before, and we're glad to have him back. And Mark Mitchell, welcome to the Conservative Voice on WWDB.
Yeah, thanks so much. Happy to be here. It is definitely wild right now. Hard to keep up with everything that's going on.
But so fun. I mean, really, I haven't had this much fun in years, so...
It's cathartic when voters actually get what they want.
Isn't it something? I mean, after 4 years of being told, no matter what you want at a local, state, or federal level, it's off the table. And we're going to give you 1,000 reasons why we can make excuses for disappointing you.
Yeah, sorry, our 4,000-page lobbyist bill just can't give you the very simple thing that you voted to put us into office for.
Right.
Wasn't there a bill dropped last night or two nights ago that they're trying to push through the House now loaded with pork?
Yes.
Oh, well, it wouldn't surprise me.
Right.
Everybody needs a payday for all the... Yeah, I don't know. I think, it'll probably happen, but just look at, Homan, for instance. This is such brilliance, just because him going out there and having the interview and just feeding the narrative of just ridiculously over-the-top tough on illegal immigration, just like what the voters want. And then all Trump has to do is sit down in Mar-a-Lago. He's not putting out much in the way of statements. And he just puts a name out there, and it's like a hornet's nest. And everybody there's no coordinated narrative, period, on CNN and MSNBC, except maybe, Matt Gaetz stuff. And Trump is just like left and right, giving voters exactly what they wanted to. And look at all the people in the ivory tower just wringing their hands. Oh, well, that pick's not good because they're not competent enough, or they don't understand government.
Meanwhile,
I don't think care. Yeah,
look at the people that Biden put into positions of power. I mean, really, you're worried about these picks. All of these people are fantastic picks in terms of the experience they're bringing in. And the fact that so many of them are decentralized, they're not D.C. people who have been hanging out in that region forever looking for new jobs. These are people from outside of D.C. who really have been strong supporters of the kind of change we want to see. Not just Donald Trump. No, they understand what they're being put in there to do.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that's the big issue that I would have said a month ago before I understood more about what type of transition team Trump had been working on, because there was not a lot of news about it.
No.
And one of the big question marks is, well, he can make good appointments, but there's still 5 or 10,000 of them, and D.C. votes 97% Democrat, and the ones that do vote Republican are on a very powerful and entrenched gravy train. And so just seeing some of these names, I find it really hard to think that Tulsi Gabbard, for instance, is going to come in and have her hands tied by the fact that she can't find enough good people in D.C. And, of course, everybody's focused across the board. Seems like it's going to come in and just to have this utter bloodbath of all the ideologues.
Oh, yeah.
Especially Hegseth in the military. Oh, man. Beautiful. I was former military, and I hate what's been done. And the reason, number one, to me, that stood out that our military is in really bad shape is that nobody was fired over Afghanistan.
Yep.
If somebody had run our submarine into a buoy in the middle of the night while the captain was asleep, he still would have gotten fired 20 years ago. So.
Mm-hmm. It's a great point. I mean, there's no accountability anywhere in D.C. That's clear. Now, this is a CNN headline from a few days ago, 4 days ago. White House races to dole out funding from key legislation before Trump takes office. So they're pushing the money as fast as they can. They've got some legislation pending. These appointments that we talked about that are going to be made to get generals and admirals and officers all installed so they can continue to push the ideology, making it harder and harder for the new Trump term two to unravel the mess. One of the things that's been really great about this little window we have here where he's announcing all these appointments is that it's coming so quickly and so early that we haven't had months and months of the media pretending they know who's going to be appointed.
Yeah, I love that.
And going through this whole fake news thing that they always do where, well, what do you think somebody who might know something, you know, who do you think are the candidates for this one? Well, they give us six or eight names. We're not going through any of that wasted time and energy. It's just, here's the person, launch the fight.
Yeah, I think everybody is, I don't know. In the movement to me seems just energized, enthused, untouchable. Because the deep state felt just so oppressively powerful.
Yes.
A week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. And I think also people are coming out, a lot of people that are really politically engaged, coming out on the other side of what was a really extensive information war. And our information war during this whole cycle was just to counteract the lying pollsters.
Yep.
And that was a hefty fight in and of itself. But think about October, in which even though less people watch the mainstream media, they still do drive the narratives. And
right.
They were throwing everything out there. Trump's saying Liz Cheney needs to be shot. Puerto Rican, like literally everything.
Yeah. The Liz and Cheney thing was
new
crazy.
Cycle.
Yeah.
And everybody on Twitter was just mercilessly attacking, counterattacking all of that. And so I think that drained a lot of people. And now just looking at these picks are winning.
That's right.
The mainstream media, they have nothing. There's no coordinated pushback. Kamala Harris is probably locked in a room with a bottle of vodka right now. Joe Biden had like this great meetup. And I think a lot of the followers in the mainstream media think about, I wasn't the first to point this out, but just the absolute contradiction of being told that Trump is Hitler for 4 years, only to see Joe Biden smile and shake his hand and pat him on the back.
And I mean, honestly, Joe and Jill looked thrilled to host him at the White House this week. They looked very happy in those images and the video.
Yes, they did. They really did. I don't think Joe Biden is upset at all with this outcome. But, you know, assuming he knows what the outcome is.
Assuming he knows where he is right now.
Right. So,
well, I think it's a very clear sign that at least Joe Biden's staff, there will be a peaceful transition of power. And so that's disunity and disarray on the left, in my opinion, in a way that they haven't figured out how to correct for going forward. So, because it's just been such a unified information campaign for the last 3 or 4 years.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So here's a question. I've heard quite a bit this week that Republicans don't complain about election fraud when they win. And obviously, none of us are worried about election fraud anymore or election integrity issues because Trump won. But I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's going on in this beautiful state of Pennsylvania this week.
Yeah.
But I would say that it seems like there may be still some issues lingering about. Have you any insight on that?
Well, we are going into the field today with our first post-election election integrity questions. We're really the only people that asked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a really good benchmark going into this election, over 60% of voters were concerned the outcome of this election would be affected by cheating. 49% of voters said that there are election officials in their state who have enabled fraud. We've measured this a million ways. The question mark is, what's going to happen after the election? Don't know yet, but I suspect the number is going to go up because now you're going to have an increase in Democrats who now also think that there's election fraud. Mm-hmm. I don't think Republicans, the people, again, who are politically tapped in, the people who drive the heart of the movement, the people, they're all talking about disappearing votes. They're all talking yep. about the Wisconsin chart that shows that it was just too big to rig this time. I really do think that's what happened. I think
a part of the puzzle, yeah.
Tuesday got really close.
Yep.
And it really came down to it was too big to ring in the Rust Belt. If Harris didn't have to sweep all three of them, I think we might be in a different situation right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I came out on Monday on the Alex Jones show and called for there needs to be a federal election integrity commission. And I think if you were going to pick some people to be on that, you'd probably want people like Carrie Lake and Eric Hovde. Absolutely. Because, again, the entire country massively moved to the right. 6.5 points, national popular vote.
Yep.
And yet the battlegrounds only moved about 2.75 a point.
Yeah.
And you have New Jersey and New York went 11 points to the right. Pennsylvania only moved 3.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously some of that is a disparity in the amount of money that's spent on elections, but some of it is just in these blue Democrat city turnout machines that also for some reason involve trucks.
So we were watching, that's right, trucks that come in only at night.
In
though.
The middle of the night.
Yeah, the nighttime delivery.
Trucks, yes.
So we were watching the number of ballots that were coming in through mail-in ballot systems. And at the cutoff that we had prior to Election Day, there were about 500,000 fewer mail-in ballots delivered by Democrats in 2024 than in mm-hmm. 2020.
Yeah.
500,000. It was 1.6 million in 2020. It was 1.1 million in 2024. Did 500,000 voters just disappear? Not likely.
No. Well, and for further context, 20% of voters in the 2020 election said that they received at least one additional mail-in ballot at their address.
Oh, I talked to a woman who got 4. I talked to another guy who got 2. So that happens all the time. And of course, we know that in certain parties, they vote them, and other parties, they don't. At least most of the time. So,
I do think there may have been some Republicans that voted them.
Oh, there, I think there are. There are some. Yeah. But,
quite a few. In fact, maybe a few million.
There might be. Yeah.
Less than Democrats by a mile. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Most of the people we talk to are Republicans. They get an extra ballot. They panic and shred it or throw it away or because they feel like they're going to get in trouble for having it. In 2017, I mentioned this a little bit ago, but in 2017, Trump established the Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity. He put Kris Kobach in charge of it. He's now the Kansas Secretary of State or Attorney General.
Attorney General, I believe.
But he got elected in Kansas. And the Republicans that were Secretaries of State and Attorneys General, the Democrats and the Department of Homeland Security, they all said they will not participate. They would not accept any of, they would not deliver any of the information that the commission needed to actually figure out if the elections were secure or not. So a year later, it was wrapped up with no findings.
Yeah.
Now, I can't imagine that he's not going to recreate that, but this time it's going to have teeth and he's going to have a cooperative Department of Homeland Security and he may not need the states to cooperate. He may be able to just get the data himself. You know, whoever this commission is, they may be able to just secure the data independent of state attorneys general and secretaries of state.
I think that Trump is going to not allow anything to stand in his way this time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what would be better for everybody is if there was a bipartisan will to play along with this. Because now I think we're going to be in a scenario with where even a majority of Democrats think that cheating affects the outcome of elections. And, you just never know. I mean, it'll probably be, there's probably going to uncover a lot of really horrifying things. And there will probably be, everybody asks is, well, why haven't Republican secretaries of state in the past investigated this stuff? And after all these years of seeing that there's very simple things, for instance, that Raffensperger could do to put everybody's mind at ease, the only conclusion I can make is that they are covering something up.
Yep.
And so...
Or complicit. Or have used the system in their benefit.
There's a will, there's a way.
Right.
And if that will is, okay, well then now we're just going to have to do criminal investigations. I think there are worse outcomes than the largest RICO case in the history of the U.S.
That would be tremendous. And it is clearly a RICO issue.
Yes.
It is organized. This isn't just individual voters going off and doing something on their own. This has got to be one of the things that the, let's say, the political establishment uniparty types are just terrified of. Just terrified. But when you were polling on election integrity, there was, if I remember correctly, because I used this in a town hall we did, I think you hit a number like 30% of Democrats believed that there was a problem with election fraud. And there was a large number, a majority of Americans, I think, in your polls that showed that they believed or said that they believed that 2024 could be affected by election fraud. The outcome could be changed with election fraud. Am I remembering that correctly?
Listen, we've asked so many, a million different ways. Let me pull up just some of the recent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it? How likely is it? So this one is a mail. Okay. How likely is it the cheating affected the outcome of the 2020 election? We just did this a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And a majority, 52%, said likely, including 35% of Democrats and 74% of Republicans. We got a number with the same question of 66%, and I think it was 55% of Democrats for the 2024 election.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different ways. One of the big ones that I like that shows the difference between Democrats and Republicans on this issue is we ask, what's more important, preventing cheating in elections or making sure everybody can vote? And Republicans and independents, it's overwhelmingly preventing cheating in elections, but a plurality of Democrats saying it's actually making sure everybody can vote. So there's this like aspect of civil rights that mm-hmm. still permeates the Democrat psyche around election integrity.
Yep.
And they're definitely, and they don't like cheating. Like they'll tell you, I think it's 85% say it's important to prevent cheating in elections, 70% very important. That number is about 10 points lower than Republicans or independents. So they don't like cheating almost as much as Democrats or Republicans, but they think people are being disenfranchised.
So and now you're
again,
which has been that's effective messaging right there over
it's
decades.
Incredibly effective.
Yeah.
But it's
exactly.
another issue.
That's the media.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's another issue though, where you're saying that it's a majority of Americans, a significant number of Democrats, the vast majority of Republicans and independents are all saying the same thing, and the government is looking at them and saying, we're not going to take any action to secure these elections. We're not going to give you the transparency that's built into the election laws. And we're not going to cooperate with a presidential commission just to check it and make sure it's okay. We're not going to audit anything. We refuse to respond.
Yeah, welcome to public opinion in 2024.
Yeah.
Like, name a topic where it's not like that. On transgenders in sports, on shutting down the government to get spending cuts.
Right.
On literally everything. You have AOC went on the news sometime in the last 24 hours and said voters don't actually expect Donald Trump to keep his promises on the border. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
We just tested that. And Donald Trump has promised that on day one, he will launch the largest deportation program in American history to get the criminals out. And this is after election numbers here. 64% of voters approve, 46% strongly. Only 23% of voters are strongly disapprove of a massive deportation program. Only 41% of Democrats strongly disapprove. And then how likely is it that Trump will keep his promises? And it's also, it's 72%. So even Democrats who don't overwhelmingly support it, a plurality mm-hmm. of them, well, 39% of them approve, but 58% of them think it's happening. So even Democrats don't agree with AOC.
Right.
Absolutely wild.
So it's interesting. I mean, watching your polls coming out throughout the year, we've spent a lot of time on Rasmussen stuff this year. You know, there's one you sent out. I just have it in front of me right now. West Virginia, 78% support E-Verify legislation, which is the system that would help make sure that people who are being hired are actually legal residents who have work permits. And you know, these kind of numbers pop up throughout everything you do. And yet the government continues to completely ignore the will of the people, as we're saying. And when you get to a situation where you're saying, wait a minute, school boards, township supervisors, county officials, state and federal officials are all ignoring everything the public cares about, something is broken in the system. The machine isn't working.
Yeah. It has to be broken, because otherwise we'd be voting them out.
Right. And when you say it's always sort of frustrating when somebody goes to a school board meeting or a county commission. Point. Yeah, when someone goes to one of these government meetings for the first time and says, remember, you work for us. And I just sort of, I feel kind of sad for them, because they don't realize. No, they don't.
Nope.
They do not work for you. They don't
work
care
for your vote. And then once you give them your vote, they will do whatever it is they deem fit for themselves.
And it seems that they're so entrenched, they aren't even working for your vote.
No. I mean,
they know the outcome in advance.
Yeah.
School boards that don't care what parents think are school boards that aren't concerned about the voting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
well, and what's great too is that all of the crutches that they use, like purposely, subconsciously, all of the crutches, well, we're smarter than you, we're better than you, we're better at our jobs, this job's hard, are all just absolutely anathema to the America right now. Like the idea that, oh, well, these picks are bad because the people that Trump's picking are incompetent and won't be able to do the job. Again, we haven't been able to pull on that, but that dog won't hunt. Like, that is not what I'm seeing.
Right, right.
I'm seeing people exuberant that they're getting people who are loyal to Trump.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not just loyal to Trump. It's loyal to the America First priorities of this incoming administration. And everyone always paints it as loyalty to Trump. But no, Trump is just the figurehead for the restoration of our country. And he needs strong people around him. We've seen what weak men and women can do, the damage they can do when put in positions of power in a presidential administration, right?
Yeah. Well, there is something specific about Trump that hasn't been able to be replicated.
That's right.
And I think probably it's the level of prosecution. And I don't know how much. All I can say is that there are relatively well-liked conservative names. I mean, DeSantis, though, the number one thing he did to tank his approval rating was to come after Trump.
Yep.
And so maybe you could say, well, it's this time, but it's very much Trump that people want at the head of this movement, at least for now.
Yeah, he made a couple significant mistakes. Cutting deals with the billionaires was one of them.
I feel bad for DeSantis. He made a few bad decisions there in the last year or so.
He was well informed and well financed.
Repair himself.
So we have a caller actually on hold. Barbara, welcome to the Conservative Voice.
Hello, Gary. How are you?
I'm well. And do you have a question or comment?
Well, you're talking about the election integrity, and I'm here in Montgomery County.
Ah.
And we've been counting ballots for the better part of 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks.
Wow.
And they just keep counting.
Yeah.
And they recreate them, they count them. We have the overseas ballot, you know, and I keep saying, what's the denominator? I thought you counted most of these ballots on election night.
Yeah.
And that they just keep pulling out another batch.
Counting is hard, it turns out.
Oh, there's so many ballots.
I mean, you think about this.
I don't know how India does it in one day.
No, right, right.
There's just so many.
And for 240 years or so, they were able to count up elections in a night.
That night.
And now they can't. And this is, so it's Montgomery County. There have been a lot of problems in Bucks County. There are other counties where there are outcomes that if you look deep into the numbers, they don't make sense.
So, Barb, are you indicating that they're continuing to find additional batches of ballots that were not included in the earlier counts and counting them late?
Well, so I was there Thursday after the election, and we were recreating ballots, and some of them, it was obvious, they couldn't go through the machine because, you know, they had little cuts in them, the fold was ripped, whatever.
Sure.
Some of them you put in Hawaii. But we had Democrats and Republicans, and we were recreating the ballots and putting them through. There were 2,800 of those. But then it just keeps, you know, they keep just keep counting, finding, you know, there's supposedly 173,000 mail-in ballots and absentees to count. And on the website, it says there's a little over 3,000 absentees that apparently haven't been counted yet.
Wow.
So,
how could there be, you said 3,000 absentee ballots, which are mail-in ballots, that haven't been counted yet?
No. That's what it says on the website, and I'm told that they're going to be counting them, like, maybe tomorrow.
Well, that's enough votes in a typical county, even one as large as Montgomery County, where you can decide the outcome of most, if not all, the races. Yeah.
Well, and how much do we want to bet once they get scanned through, they're 98% for the Democrats versus, you know, 3%?
Yeah, and it's just, you know, these should all be counted on election night. And in fact, if you just keep counting ballots after on election day, you had 13 hours for people to vote in person. That number can't change. That number is set in stone.
Yes.
So the, you know, the fact that they can just keep counting.
Wow.
The problem I see here is the absolute asymmetry in which Republicans and Democrats election year post election. Because it's a total mess. And I haven't been able to keep track on every county exactly what's happening, but it's a mix of, oh, you got these provisionals. Oh, these came in after the date, but maybe they could take them if we get some judge to overrule something. Or, oh, these aren't legal citizens or they're illegal ballots, but Mark Elias is going to file a lawsuit and maybe we'll be able to count them. And those challenges always seem to go one direction. And voters, I can say, hate it. We ask this when states are late in reporting their election results. Does it make you more confident or less confident? Only 21% say more confident, 45% say less. And I think that's, nobody's looking at this and saying, well, this is great for democracy.
No.
63% of Republicans say, and 47% of independents say less. But there is one silver lining to this cloud. Think about all the time people were talking about that National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. I was joking today on Twitter, they should rename that to Everybody Sit and Watch California Count Votes Compact, because that's what it essentially is. California still has like 1.5 million votes outstanding. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Wow. Well, it's interesting. And Barb, thanks for calling with that information. I mean, I've been paying attention to Bucks, but I wasn't watching Montgomery as closely. And here, just outside of view. Go ahead.
Yeah. Tom DeBella is working hard, you know, to fight all of this. But the Democrats, rig the system. I have a funny story. I had a Democrat. I have someone that works in my precinct, Tom and Joe, and he gave my phone number to one of his neighbors that happens to be a Democrat. And they were worried because on their mail-in ballot, on the computer, it said mail-in ballot returned. And they were like, wait a second. Did mine not count? So after the election, they're worried that maybe their Democrat vote didn't count. Of course, they all say returned. That's the language that they use on, you know, saying, yep, you returned the ballot. It's good. So, but it was funny because they're like, you know, with all the funny business going on.
Yes. Well, and you're making the point again that this is such a complicated system. It is so lacking in transparency. It is so convoluted that people don't understand how it works. They don't even understand the language of it. It's extremely expensive. It's very, very inefficient. And yet we're being told by everyone involved, we have to do this more. Yeah. It is a silly thing that they created mail-in ballots. It wasn't necessary. Right. And yet it remains the focus. So, well, Barb, thanks so much for calling into the Conservative Voice. We appreciate that insight.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll have to follow up and catch up with you. You know, Mark, going back to what we saw, the too big to rig concept, right? I've looked back at some of your earlier work earlier in the year, like even back to April, when it showed Trump with significant leads. And then we saw it, you know, shifting around and whatnot. I believe that there are large numbers of voters in this cycle who were unpollable. The Amish.
Yeah.
The folks in Philadelphia who wouldn't return a phone call if somebody made one.
The Democrats who voted for Trump who would never in their lives admit it publicly.
But, or even on a phone call. They wouldn't tell anybody. But I think what we've seen now is what we saw in your polling through the year in terms of the policy positions Americans were taking manifest itself in this tsunami with Trump that was, again, too big to rig. It truly was just too overwhelming for it to be offset. And the prospect of sending all the trucks out and hiding all the counting centers and all the things they did in 20, they knew they were going to face a much bigger negative reaction if that happened.
Yeah.
Is that about right?
The entire country, 6.5 points to the right, major blue strongholds moving double digits to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Across the board is a massive, massive mandate. And again, I'm surprised that it was as narrow as it was. And I think you can thank the billionaires that launder money into the Democrat campaigns. I think you can thank all the actors and actresses and people that are swayed by these psychological operations. There are people that are very, very moldable.
Yeah.
We asked the question, are you ashamed of America's history? And it's only in the teens that say yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 34% of women under 40.
Yeah.
And so just in that kind of thing alone, there's a high susceptibility of people to these kind of woke concepts that drive the party. And we can all see from the campaign that the way they were marketing it was a very Hollywood-centric, fear of missing out, be the cool kid kind of vote. And so the fundamentals, in my opinion, predict a bigger win for Trump than what we actually saw. With how many people that are pro-border control, with how many people who have economic problems, and how much more Trump is trusted on the issue of economy. And so, again, I think the media is partly to blame about that, but there is an aspect of investigation that needs to be done here that's not just about fraud.
No.
So here's another way of measuring, like, kind of how I see this, is that in 2020, after the election, the national popular vote went 4.5 points Biden. Now it went a little over 2 points Trump, 6.5 point move to the right, okay? 6.5% of 435 seats in Congress is like 30 seats.
Right.
The Republicans only have 6 more seats than they did back then. So how did the entire country move that big to the right in 4 years and Republicans barely made any gains at all in the House? And part of that, again, is what's happening in the battlegrounds, but it's also playing out everywhere. And this is, again, I know there are good boots on the ground in the Republican Party, but they're playing checkers, not chess,
right,
on average.
They're playing chutes and ladders, not chess. I mean, really.
Exactly. Asymmetry in all of the gerrymandering and districting, the way that and here's the other one that Republicans are dealing with. Look at how strong incumbents are. And I know from discussions how hostile the establishment Republicans are to new MAGA candidates that want to come in and actually run on the issues.
Oh, they're very hostile.
Depending on your state, you know, some states are better than others.
Mm-hmm.
And then just look at what we're watching in the Senate now. Clearly there was a mandate for MAGA, and yet that's not, the senator's like, oh, well, we run things in D.C.
That's right. We'll do what we want, and the voters be damned. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. The conclusion that we reached, I was talking with someone this morning about some of this. The conclusions that we're reaching are, again, if the citizenry goes back to sleep, if we don't keep pushing out the messaging, if we don't keep having honest conversations on social media, on the radio shows like this one, and on in public forums, if we don't keep doing that, this will be a very short win.
Yeah.
This will be, you know, we'll have 20 months basically to get this done, and then this will all be ripped away again. The battle isn't over because we hired Superman and now we're saved. We have got to, we've got to keep the pressure up. And it's not just the Republican Party, which has some certain limitations, obviously, as everyone knows, including a strong influence from these old establishment people. but it's also, you know, it's the grassroots, it's the communicators. Of course, it's you know, using things like Rasmussen reports so that we can really understand what's going on in the electorate, what's going on in the country, what people think. I use your site all the time, so I appreciate that.
Oh, thanks.
So,
well,
Mark,
I think the big trend that's different is that it's all of the media is now pull instead of push.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we saw on election night. And I don't even think I would have made that assessment before election night.
Right.
Because so much was being pushed on America.
Yeah.
But I was on like a dozen live streams on election night, and I met probably 20 or 30 other content creators just in that week alone that now, and again, we're only a very small piece of the information context around elections in America.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that network effect, I think, is not going away. And right now, it's great that things that are trending on Twitter right now are Mike Tyson and some altcoins. And
yeah,
like,
right,
you know,
right.
Pandora. Like, it's not. But there's still, you know, there's some stuff up here that's Trump's picks. But the second, you know, Ann Seltzer was polling at the top of Twitter, too. So the second there's something that bucks the narrative, everybody's going to run to Twitter and be like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So that really has become the town square. And they can't control it. It's beautiful.
That's right.
Right now, they're all having a temper tantrum and leaving.
Which is great. You know, so I'm fine with these people with a couple million followers leaving. Let them go.
Just an FYI, though. No, it's not an airport. It's not an airport. No one needs to announce their departures.
That's
just
right.
Go ahead and delete
just
your profile
go.
And go away.
So, Mark.
Rob Reiner, now leaving. Goodbye. Get out of here. He'll be back, though. It's all narcissism.
I know.
Mark, we're up against a switch here. So let me ask, how can people follow what you're doing?
Absolutely. We would love to have people at RasmussenReports.com. It has a paywall, but you could sign up for a free daily newsletter. We send information out about what polls we do, and follow us on YouTube at Rasmussen_poll, where I go into all the topics and public opinion. And then again, Twitter, everybody, if they're not, should download the Twitter app, get on Twitter, Rasmussen_poll at Twitter.
Thank you so much for calling. Yes, X. I think actually, if you type in Twitter, it still comes up.
It still works.
Yeah, it still works. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling in, Mark. And we look forward to having you on again soon.
Yeah, whatever. Love to come in and talk.
All right,
yeah,
awesome.
Wonderful.
We appreciate
Thank you.
It.
And,
all right, bye.
You know, I it's not that expensive to subscribe to Rasmussen Reports. It's $34.95 a month.
Yeah, that's
I mean, $34.95. I think yearly.
A year,
It's like $35.
And they're the only ones asking real questions. These other pollsters are not asking the questions we want to know the answers to.
No.
They've been talking about election integrity for years now. They're the ones who allowed us to see, like, no, we're not some radical few of crazy people worried about this.
No.
The population is worried about this. It was so reassuring to see those polls early on and be like, oh, I might be crazy, but I'm not crazy about this.
Right.
And other people are on the same page as me. It was a huge, huge help.
Well, a lot of the analysis that I do, like how I came up with the 35s, part of that was their polls. But let's shift gears now and welcome back to the conservative voice, Darren Gobb, who joins us now. Darren, welcome back.
Hey, so happy to be here again.
Oh, glad
and,
to have you.
It's going to snow this afternoon. I'm happy.
Oh, my gosh. Stop it. You come on these calls every time and make me feel so jealous for whatever weather you're having up there. Snow. Goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. The grizzly bears are going to eat people. There. Now you can feel better by not being here.
Right. They're so cute, though.
I tell you what. Yeah, they're cute till those jaws hit.
Yeah.
But, snow in Montana, you know, it's got to be beautiful. I love the winter.
Please send pictures later.
Yeah.
It'll be a while before we see snow here, I think.
So Darren, have you been enjoying this post-election frenzy?
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like, I think we've chummed the waters enough and the sharks are circling, but they're realizing that they're toothless. And I am absolutely a big fan of it.
I haven't had this much fun. I've had people tell me how funny I am. I haven't felt funny for years, but right now I'm funny. I'm back to being funny again.
You're funny
We're
again.
Funny. honestly, the things I've seen in the last 2 weeks, and I watched The View again. Oh, no. It's amazing.
I had to post a an article in Armed Forces Press about this new show called Office Joe comedy series, and it's all about, you know, what it's like for veterans after the military. And it's just, you know, it's Office Space with the veteran flair. You know what? With all the stuff going on, let's just post stuff that everybody can laugh at.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah.
Well, I sent you my...
The left, regardless of party, is giving us a lot to laugh at.
My Instagram has a video that's literally called Don't Cry, Cryo. And if you haven't seen that video, my goodness. Awesome. It is...
It's hilarious.
I keep watching it over and over again and crying, laughing, because it's just so ingenious. And, it's not Trump putting it out.
Inaccurate. I think Vance is going to have to go. They're going to have to create an 8-year package for Vance.
Yes, I agree. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So I want to get your responses, quickly. If we could just run down some of these names. Do you think of Tulsi Gabbard for DNI?
Good choice outside the box. She's definitely risked a lot by doing what she did. And it's worth letting her have a chance at what she's going to try to do. I'll tell people real quick, when it comes to military officers, you know, senior officers like myself and others, we often have weird and varied backgrounds that nobody really truly understands except for those of us who are in the inner circles of what we did. So you'll find that we have skills in strange places, and sometimes it's okay to try it out. And I look forward to seeing what she'll do.
Same.
Yeah, me too.
I just can't wait for her to walk in the building and go, hey, who's going to tell me who put me on the no-fly list? Who put me on the list?
Yeah. That will be
exactly.
That's a great
point. That's the first order of business. Are you kidding? Listen, if you put me in charge of DOJ, the first thing I would walk in and say is, so was my name? Did anyone call and give you my name?
How did I get here, by the way? How did I get here?
Yeah. That's a great point. Really fun.
I just flew in.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I find often it's better to hire for culture than it is for the perfect resume. And often the perfect resume is overstated and misinterpreted. And when you find somebody that's got an emotional or ideological mission as these folks have, I think they're going to be far more powerful. We know that the radicals on the other side are ideological, right? Their ideology just involves destroying the United States and Western civilization. You know, to have people come in that are strongly ideological gives me tremendous comfort. I'm happy that she doesn't have 30 years in ODNI or in those sorts of things. And how about Matt Gaetz, the one that's got everybody on fire?
That's hilarious.
I know. I didn't think that anyone could get more mad after Tom Homan, but I was wrong. I was wrong. I continue to be impressed with how angry people are getting.
You know, all I can say is Matt is going to fuel the meme wars for 4 years, and I am just going to be making a collection and doing my part. And I'm having visions of cartoons with hairstyles that are similar to that and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So I fully agree with the whole ideological piece here. It's like, you know, in the end, people are going to be put in positions, and they may not have the so-called resume of what these folks are looking for on paper, but they're going to come in there and say, you know what? I'm an American patriot who believes in the Constitution. I'm going to surround myself with an awesome team. We're going to fix the stuff that's very easy to identify that's wrong and fix it. And then we're going to learn as we go about the things that we can continue to do better, but change the leadership, change the culture, change the methods and the focus.
Yep.
You do that, you're 50% of the way there or more. The rest of it will come in time.
That's right.
And think about the people who are telling us that these positions or these people being nominated are not qualified. Listen, you guys made the qualifications up for the last 30 years. Look what you've done to the country. Maybe it's time to stop listening to the qualifications you've put on a list and maybe prioritize our country, the Constitution, our veterans, our soldiers, like our line law enforcement agents who have been absolutely, harmed over the last 4 years. If an FBI agent had showed up to my house 6 years ago, I would have opened my door and been polite. Mm-hmm. If an FBI agent showed up at my doorstep right now, I can't necessarily say that would be the same interaction. There would be no interaction, which, that's probably smart. But, you know, there's a lot to fix. So when the people who created these issues come out and say, oh, this isn't a good pick, he's not well qualified, we really need to get someone with more experience. Well, guess what? The people you've been picking for 30 years have been terrible, have done damage to this country, so maybe it's just time we try something else.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And there's a lot of risk in this, too. And
sure,
right up next to the reward. And the risk is you've got a mandate. The mandate for the Trump administration and the message that follows the mandate is that this is for all of D.C. and the federal and the federal government and many states across the board.
Right.
If the Republicans are given all this and do nothing or do very little, then the Republican Party will be gone, too.
Oh, it's going to be brutal if they don't deliver. It's going to be absolutely brutal if they don't.
It'll be well-deserved, though, if that's the case.
I don't think the American people are going back to sleep. I really don't. I mean, they're going to go to some aren't going to be as active as they are now or as informed as they are now. You know, there's still NFL and whatever, the Kardashians and reruns
and there
of
is
Seinfeld.
A Mike Tyson fight tonight for anyone that's full
attendance. Yeah, thank God for that.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
It'll be, But I think there'll be some that sort of lose focus a bit, but I don't think that the Republican Party is going to be able to come out and explain why they failed again to deliver everything and walk away
unscathed.
You know, it'll be the end of it for them. And I don't know if they understand that. I suspect that Thune understands he's got to get these nominees through, as you said earlier, Ada, but I don't know that he's going to suddenly have an awakening and be committed to an aggressive pro-American cause.
No.
And that's when I kind of continue with the Restore Liberty mission, is we were always considering ourselves a landing place for all those types of people across the country who just fully split with the GOP and say, nope, that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just be American citizens.
Yeah. It's a good point. And we've talked about that a little bit, and we'll have to get into that in more detail.
We're going to get into that in more detail on another show.
Yeah. But how about Pete Hegseth? Now, this is one you would have a clear view on.
Yeah, no, I think we've just solved some of the recruiting crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Sheerly by his presence.
Oh, yeah. Now, he's
the perfect guy. You know, if you can look at my resume, you can look at his resume from just a military perspective, and I can run circles around him. And so can many. But so what? That, yeah. And that doesn't matter either. I mean, there's places for him to get advice. There's people for him to go to. He can surround himself with an awesome team. And the fact that he is there is going to has already had a huge impact on the morale of the military.
Yeah.
It's fun to see, because frankly, knowing Lloyd Austin as well as I do for the last 20 something years, you've achieved a point in the Department of Defense where you found the floor in performance and you can only go up.
Right.
There you go. Now
the full mask with the visor. I still can't believe that happened.
What I've been a little bit surprised by is that, as far as I can tell, there was no consideration given to the admiral. What's her name? Rachel Levine. And you know, you think about, she's got government experience.
I know
she's
really
got
state been a good
and
pick.
Federal, and she's an admiral. I mean, why not pick her? I mean, think about the level of preposterous this is.
What about the dude who stole women's clothes in airports, who was in charge of our nuclear waste disposal program?
Oh, yeah.
Are we serious? You're worried about Matt Gaetz or Pete Hegseth? I'm worried about the people stealing other women's underwear, also being responsible for our nuclear waste. Hello?
And the officer that was wearing puppy masks.
Oh, my
gosh. Thing.
Yeah.
So you've got this cast of clownish characters.
Yeah.
And my view on Pete Hegseth, who I've not followed closely over time, but he was an officer, and he was a fighting officer, right?
Oh, I don't think he was. I don't know that he was an officer. Was he an actual officer?
He's a major.
He's a major.
All right.
So he was a fighting
National Guard major in the D.C. area and did Iraq, Afghanistan, and Cuba.
And think about this, too. They pulled his orders after January 6th in D.C. So he's also coming in with a little bit of skin in the game, having been falsely painted as an extremist and had his orders revoked as a result.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, there's more of us in different flavors out there. There are the COVID victims.
Mm-hmm.
There's the DEI victims. I ended my career by making a decision that's kind of, it's the modern version of what I saw on Band of Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do this, wink, wink, and yeah. and you don't. There's a lot of folks out there that have a lot of skin in the game that can get involved in some way. My wife even laughed and she goes, you're going to find out you're going to be moving to Washington, D.C. to fix some things. And you started your career in the military in Washington, D.C. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I just
said it. I'm on that panel to help remove people. That's exactly where I belong because I know who they are.
It'd be a great role. And it's, as we've talked about before, it's extremely necessary. Now, here's one that I'm not as clear on, but she's from your neighborhood, so to speak. You know, from a Pennsylvania perspective, she's your neighbor, right? And that's, of course, Kristi Noem as Homeland Security Secretary. What is your, do you have a view? What are your thoughts?
This one I'm watching closest. Kristi Noem is unfortunately kind of one of those characters that's been built for you to look at.
Bit
of a plastic doll as a conservative. And people in South Dakota are not too thrilled with her governorship because, or a lot of people are, because what she's put out there in public about like anti-mask, anti-vaccine, pro-business, and all that kind of stuff is all after the fact, even though she was initially for them all. She's also a big fan of some of the things that they're doing to basically confiscate private land and create government easements and stuff that that is not very popular. So I think this one is one of those cases where, okay, let's see where this goes. Watch closely, hold to extreme account. But if you're looking at me, you know, to have trust and to be laughing at this one, I'm definitely not there yet. I can be convinced through results, but I'm not going to be convinced sheerly by the selection.
Okay. So that makes sense to me as well. I mean, we remember that she's had some decisions that were well known.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have as much clarity on the details of what's happened in her state, but I think that makes sense. And she's got a great opportunity here.
I know some rumors and gossip that I won't bother sharing here, but that's interesting. What you said is interesting based on those rumors and drama in the background, because it makes me question the choice a little bit. Not necessarily. Listen, I will never sit here and say that I know at any moment more than Donald Trump knows at every moment. And so I really don't question his choices because of that. I know I don't have the full picture. But I was surprised by Kristi Noem, to be honest. That's the only one that's really surprised me.
How about Marco?
You know, the game player, in me sometimes kind of comes up with weird scenarios. And this has no basis in known fact or reporting, but I'm just kind of like, you know, what if she's a known Rhino Republican governor who gets pulled out of the governorship, put into a cabinet position, underperforms, and is fired?
And then they get a new governor, and then she's not in that position.
Well,
that's how my brain's wired.
Well, it's a possibility, and on the other hand, she's got an opportunity here to embrace this agenda, to embrace her role, and to, you know, for example, we talked about this election integrity committee that was created in 17. Well, if that happens again, I assume Donald Trump is going to do that. She can say Department of Homeland Security is going to cooperate fully with that and make sure everything is needed is delivered. She can be proactive and successful. So she's got a great opportunity. It's hers to win or lose.
Yeah.
Yep. I hope she's wildly successful and does all those things. And we can sit back and say, either I was wrong. This is awesome. Go forth and conquer.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. We've got about 2 minutes left. I wanted to touch on Marco Rubio, who I'm not as comfortable with as everyone else. But do you have any quick thoughts on Marco Rubio?
As a general rule, I don't like having the rinse recycle on politicians and to key positions. Marco Rubio, I've got my concerns about as well. But if you look at it from the perspective of, can he be influential in a positive way towards specifically South America and Central America and what we're doing along the border and with our relationships with Mexico? I believe him and Noem are two people right now that we have to watch closest to make sure that are fully held accountable.
I'm with you. I think that's exactly right.
I have to say, though, I do believe Marco has come a long way in the 8 years since we saw him in 2015 in that really tough primary.
Yeah, that's right. But we've got about 10 seconds left, Aaron. How can we find you on X?
DL Gaub, G-A-U-B, at DL Gaub. That's me.
Yeah, and you know, we've been following your post. It's great. And you have a website as well, right?
Yes, restore-liberty.org is my organization. You do one of those two things, eventually you'll find me anywhere.
Great.
Or just look up my name on Substack.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling into the Conservative Voice once again. We enjoy it more when you're in the room. Thanks for coming out a couple of weeks ago. and we look forward to continuing the conversation. Thanks, Darren.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.